Hey everybody, this is Jess.
And Nick.
And this is Table Talk.
Welcome. Hello.
How's everybody doing today?
Phenomenal. I don't have coffee, but I did have tea from the Flint Farmers Market, and it was phenomenal. 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah.
Totally good. So we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I really think we should probably introduce ourselves, who we are, why are we doing this, why are we together doing this?
That would be very helpful, yeah, I think. Create a context box.
Who is this person next to me?
So my name is Jessica, and I am an emotional intelligence specialist. What I do is break down thoughts and feelings for people, primarily corporate offices going through transitions, using process flows and tracking feelings as data.
What about you, Nick? Well, the things that Jess won't tell you is that they are an incredible pillar in their community. So Jess has all of the street cred of the analytical side of feeling, and they're also incredibly intuitive and a hands-on healer. It is such an interesting balance of science and really like your essence in the way that you've come to like bring that to the world. So those are the things I know you won't say because you're just so modest about it. But the work that Jess has done trying to bridge that gap between mental health and just health and wellness in general and being able to see and view things that maybe in the past were woo-woo or, you know, kind of a little out there, but bring to the table the facts and the science that will really, I think, it helps me understand, you know, as a psychologist. So I really feel like that would help a ton of people. And I think you have a way of explaining things that is so, it's you lead with love. And I'm so excited and honored to do this with you.
Well, thank you. Let's hear about you, Nick.
Hello. I'm Nikki O'Donnell. I love going by Nick. The people who love me the most have always called me that. So I thought it was kind of perfect. Nick and Jess sounds great.
It does, yeah.
10 out of 10. I'm a psychologist, and I have been doing work in mental health for 23 years. So I've spent my life in all kinds of different ways, just serving young adults, teens, and youth. I see everybody, but primarily it's just felt like those are the places that I ended up. And I really think that that's probably because that's where our change makers are. Those are where the inspirations lie. So I spend a lot of my time trying to figure out how can I lift up and use what I know to lift a generation that I do think will change things. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a little older than that generation and we've lived through it all. So it's interesting. I think we do have an interesting perspective and way to support, you know, the folks who are just rolling up to college right now. You know, those are the future folks that have the experience in mind, like their point of view. I think that will really change things.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of that work. I've tried to find lots of ways to get to a point where I would feel aligned with the way that I exist in mental health. So what I mean by that is, like, I've gone through a lot of changes in whether I'm identifying myself as a therapist. And I'll always see clients and have a private practice. It's wonderful. But I'm still trying to solve this lifelong problem of how do we nurture the connections that already exist that are just so human and basic to us? How can we do that? And how can we do it fun? And how can we do it relevant to now?
Yeah.
So I've tried to do that lots of ways. I founded a nonprofit, Words of Hope for Life, in Metro Detroit. And we did incredible work. We still do incredible work. We broke 2 world records for social change. So we hold the world record for the most amount of people receiving Narcan training and also the world's largest, longest line, continuous line of postcards, which was an epic kindness project. And those are all amazing, right? So incredible.
Mm-hmm.
As a human, crushed me. And I love that I'm here in front of you now as none of those things.
Yeah.
As just a human who was open enough, I think, to how the universe was going to deliver what I really wanted, that now I get to kind of live it.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I like it. All right. I also would like to talk about ViewFest. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit more detail about that so we know, like, the incredible things that come from your brain?
So the genesis of this whole thing, right? I'm like little baby Nikki therapist working for the first time in a private practice because I spent 13 years working in a corporate medical center. I worked with all kinds of folks and just, you know, climb the ranks. And I was working with the, you know, the Detroit Lions retired folks and players and just doing really great things, opportunities to be behavioral health expert for, you know, all the local news stations, really great things. Mm-hmm. But I still had this feeling that there's something that the people, the magic people in my life and myself could create. So I had this dream. I was like, what if I'm a child of the 80s? Jess is a child of the 90s. And I grew up during a time when alternative music and like punk rock, right? Like it wasn't like very cool. And I wasn't either, which I just ran with that. But every year, the Warped Tour would come to town. Mm-hmm. And it was the first experience I ever had with community that changed the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
Right? This was not my community. But I religiously would go every year because of the feeling that it provided and that magic. Because I think that's what we're trying to do. You know, earlier we were talking about women's clothing and the experience of buying it. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because what's the goal of buying and wearing clothes aside from just protection, right? Mm-hmm. We want to feel good.
Yeah.
So like, how do we reverse engineer that for everyone?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. So I thought, well, what if I could take the experience that I was gifted by going to this incredible music tour. And for anyone who doesn't know, this is where like Simple Plan and like, like all of those bands, you know, Newfound Glory, like all started out. And they would do this in the parking lot of like, they did it in the parking lot of the Palace one year, way back in the day. It was at like Freedom Hill, I remember, I think. They would set up this huge skateboard ramp and mm-hmm. then there were bands playing on different stages and there were nonprofits there providing resources. And I was like, this is genius. So that's like little baby Nikki at like 12 or 13.
Okay.
But it stuck with me during mm-hmm. a time that I really struggled. So because it stuck with me in my adulthood, working with that same population that I was part of, I just thought, what if we could do that? What if there was an event that we could create that people could go to and it would literally just by attending it and being part of the experience mm-hmm. would improve your mental health.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
I did. So we now, this is the largest event for mental health that is considered event-based community intervention, which yeah. is an approach that I coined just sort of summarizing what it is that you and I have both been trying to do separately.
Yeah.
And I think that while that is incredible and it does so much great work, it's connected so many different worlds, I think there's still work to be done. And the one thing that has been missing in the work that you and I do is that we don't share ourselves.
Right.
And I think this is that opportunity.
This is to like dig down in like the muck of, you know, who we think we are at some points mm-hmm. and deal with our self-worth and value and things like that. Because even though we do super cool things like that and we build each other up, like it's amazing that like, not amazing, that's not the right word. Somebody fill in the blank for me. But it is, I guess, profound
yeah.
that like we both still struggle with that self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And seeing our own value when everybody else is like, oh, they're doing the damn thing. Everything's great. Like,
yeah.
you know.
I think this is going to be a look behind the curtain that people aren't expecting for either of us.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know in my life, the representative, who is Nikki, is always the one that shows up.
Oh, yeah.
This will be the first time. You know, the past couple months of my life, no one has heard from me. And I'm sure are wondering, like, Nikki holds it all together. Like, what happened? A lot happened. And what came from that was just a deep sense of, I think that though I have gifts and I can do therapy and I love helping people, I think like the gag is the most helpful thing I think I can do is be honest about what my life really is
mm-hmm.
So that other people understand that we're not just talking the talk, like mm-hmm. we're really gonna do it. And it's very, very scary. And you're gonna hear how many bridges were burned, how many, you know, like having experience where you find out who really is in it for you, right? Like who your close friends are. and we've both experienced that, you know, in a very short period of time, but it's launched us into this because we were willing to take a self-aware look. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's where the story is going to get good.
Yeah.
And that's where we're starting.
Yeah. Well, the self-aware look that shows that we overgive.
Yeah.
Like, and we're finally kind of turning that and being like, oh, no. Like, I need to give some of this to myself because I overgive to the point of burnout. And that's not healthy, right? Like, we also need to fill our cups. And what does life even look like when you fill your cup first? I have no idea, but I'm so excited to find out.
Right. I think even as a therapist, I think all the time about, like, how much value and hope we place in other things to provide the happiness or the mm-hmm. things we want. Mm-hmm. So, like, if our worth is tied to the belief that we have to produce something, yeah. right? We've both lived that. We've produced it, right? Like, we got to the top of the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, there's nothing there. If you didn't bring it, it's not there.
Yep.
I thought it would be there. What I found out is that I had to get back down to the base of the mountain, and the quickest way is just fall. So I tumbled.
Yeah. Gravity helps quite a bit.
Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought.
Sorry. No. There was nothing at the top of the mountain. You had to bring it. So you went back down to the base of the mountain.
Right. And everything looks a little different now. You know, when you know that, like, there isn't a thing or a person that your happiness can be trusted to. Not even your partner.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're discovering is, like, it really is. There's a way to hack it because it is a choice. People say that and it's like, oh, we'll just choose. That's not actually how it works. There is a science and there are steps to how you can choose it.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to feel great.
No.
Right? Because one of the very first things, and this is something that, this was like the genius of Jess entering my life that really helped shift for me, right? You would, like, I am no different. I can be a therapist for a gazillion years and I am still a human. Mm-hmm. We forget this, right? And I loved that you really helped me see how some of the things that I didn't even realize I believed about myself were playing themselves out in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then once I figured out what that was, to figure out why that was, and then to evaluate if that's really what I wanted to believe, little time, it's like you've said, like the pea under the mattress or the, you know.
Oh, princess and the pea.
The princess and the pea.
We'll clarify what pea here. Like,
yeah, I'm like, badly explained fairy tale by Nikki. you know, the mattress. Yes, oh, thank you.
You're
the best. This is why we needed both.
Yeah.
Like, gonna be epic.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like that, you know, one little change, while it also can cause like one really toxic thing in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Can spread to everything. Really incredible things, the right things, can also have that effect in life. And I'm seeing that now, and I'm seeing it in my life mm-hmm. in real time. And that's the thing I'm excited to share, because I did not realize that I really truly had a belief inside of me that I could not be trusted and I was not worth the value that everybody placed in me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that wholeheartedly, right? Like, you couldn't be trusted, and so you pushed yourself to, like, prove that you were trustworthy. Mm-hmm. But really, like, where did that actually get you? Like, who are the people that you were trying to prove to, right?
Because you have to unlearn.
Yeah, and were they trustworthy? I don't know.
Right? I kind of hit on, so this one, we'll go a little serious, and then, like, we'll bring it back. But I think it's a great example, yeah. And it's something that I'm comfortable sharing, but is definitely a trigger warning for any folks, physical abuse, stuff like that. But what I do want to share, this was kind of pivotal for me, and I think a lot of people in my generation will relate. So my dad would spank us yeah. with a belt. Mm-hmm. And it was really messed up because he'd be like, you know, go get it. He would make us go get it and then bring it back. I mean, this is like just generational. Like mm-hmm. He's a human who's doing the best he can. I see all of that now. What I also see and understand is that when those experiences had happened, because I was maybe 4 or 5, I'm a kid. Like, how much? You have a niece who's about that age. Like, what kinds of stuff do those kids do, right?
Yeah. Just, I mean, they're not even thinking. It's just, they just go do stuff out of curiosity, right?
And they're learning. They're, like, collecting data. So, and children are loud, right? Like, they are, that we're meant to be this way, mm-hmm. right? And they're figuring out the world, all the things. But that wasn't allowed. That was seen as, and I'm sure it's because of all the other things that my parents were dealing with, but there was no patience for that. So regardless of the reason, I did something that was deemed a bad choice.
Yeah.
And I was literally hit, right? Like, so people who were spanked, it's literally communicating this idea of not only are you bad at making decisions of what you should do or not do? Mm-hmm. It's so bad that you must be physically punished.
Yeah.
Right? And I think once I touched on that, Jess took me to this incredible sister circle in Holly?
Holly, yeah.
Thank you.
Ethos and Holly, yep.
Ethos and Holly, yes. And it's funny. I mean, the group is run by another therapist. And it was neat for me.
Oh, so... the person who runs it changes every month.
That's amazing. But the one I was there
for. Yeah.
Yes. but it was perfect because, you know, we did a lot of the same things. I use cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. That's a very, you know, standard approach for most things, you know, that a therapist, that's like in our toolbox. It was neat to use it in a different way than I had before.
Yeah.
That allowed me to look at myself in ways that even as a psychologist, I had never.
Right.
Right. And I think it even made my own therapy more helpful. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ryan, the therapist. He's phenomenal. Yeah. I think that was the end of where I was going with that.
But if you take a look at that, like, making a mistake, right?
Oh, yes,
or just
yes,
learning and being curious, and then all of a sudden somebody sees that as bad, but, like, you don't know why, right? So you just get spanked for it, right? If you take a look at that... right, I'm going to go back to process flows.
Yeah, thank you.
So if you look at the process flow and it's like every time you make a mistake, there should be something painful on the other side of it, right?
Or that my ideas would lead to that. So I should just avoid making decisions.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
You just gave me that.
Yeah. So that's that core belief that like dictates how you move through life, right? And you look at the granular details of a process flow and you just see like how that influences that belief or the assumption of life, how that influences how you move and how you make decisions, the subconscious decisions, right? Because that's your subconscious programming. And how impactful those small moments are, it changes your life because then you're like, oh man, like everything I do has an impact on somebody. So I don't know, like a couple years ago, I decided to be a holistic healer full time. And then this corporate mindfulness stuff kind of came along. But I really just wanted, I was in corporate as well, right? And I, everybody was just so bummed out all the time.
When you're a deep feeler.
Yes.
People can relate that to that too. So that even the things that others aren't aware of, you're picking up on, as are others that are that sensitive, and
yeah.
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks
especially
about
in corporate.
Yes. So it's like, I'm picking up on all this, and I tried to spread kindness anyways, but it was like we were all working from home during the pandemic, mm-hmm. and I overgave because what else do you do during a pandemic? I don't know. But I overgave, and I burned out, and everybody was just like suffering, right? Like work, corporate preached work-life balance. And I was seeing the opposite happen, right? Like everybody was working like 16-hour days and not having work-life balance with their family.
Well, work-life balance implies that work should be part of the balance.
Yeah. But it
was. Right? Like,
yeah, I know. I know.
Crazy to me now. But we all think that way. Like,
yeah.
Work has to be so important. I have to identify my own identity with this thing.
Oh, and I was one of those people, right? Mm. Like, I had global responsibility when I was in corporate. And, like, coming back to this point and being like, I am not going to run projects that impact people's lives negatively. What I'm going to do is shift my life completely, throw a bomb into my life and rebuild from scratch. And I want to build a life that spreads love and kindness and compassion instead of making corporations more money. Like, I
just had, like, something just came together when you said that. And I think it's the emotion with which I know that journey, like, carried that whole time.
Yeah.
The difficulty. I would love to hear from folks. Like, I would love to use this platform also to hear from folks who blew up their lives and it did not take away their ability to lead with love. Because those people inspire me. That's why you inspire me.
Oh, thank you. But yes, I would also like to hear from folks.
Right?
With that experience. No matter, like, what the explosion came about from. But, yeah.
I'm going to give a little example. I feel like it's a lead-in.
All right.
I feel like I have to tell that I blew up my life.
3, 2, 1, go.
So the reason I think it's so profound and the reason that I want to connect with others and do this on such a public stage is because if I have to make meaning out of the pain,
yeah,
and there's been a lot of pain for both of us,
mm-hmm.
If I can take meaning from it and interpret it in some way that can be helpful to both me and everybody who encounters me, then I can be cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
You guys will learn a lot about this. But the Cliff's Notes is that I built a life on this concept, this self-belief, that I was not trustworthy and I could not be trusted to make important decisions.
Yeah.
It was really difficult to be a person who feels purpose-driven. Like, there was something, I mean, I think we both share that. There's something we felt like we need to do in this world
And you're constantly conflicting with your core belief, right? So it causes so much dis-ease.
So how do we cope, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I coped by, oh, well, this is what the world says will make me happy.
Yeah.
Right? I wanted to be a mom. Love being a mom. Definitely didn't, like, it doesn't cure mental illness or make you happy. It's more stressful, but it's such a critical experience for me and how bad I wanted that. It's funny because that was, like, my lead-in. Well, okay, if I want that, then I also have to have everything that I know and I've seen that comes with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to get married. I need to have a house. I need to do all of these things, the picket fence, the husband, the wife, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who knows me listening will say, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I did all the things. Built the house. Did all the things, right?
Yeah. You built your house. Like,
I got to the mountain, right? Yeah. Like, nobody would deny that.
Mm-hmm.
I should be happy, right?
Yeah. Because that's what we're taught success is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, I wasn't for a really long time. And I think that it was harder and harder to believe that I wasn't trustworthy or that I couldn't be trusted. Like, that belief started to shake when we started working together,
mm-hmm.
I think. And then everything from there, me giving an actual attention to that little girl who learned that,
mm-hmm.
who now as an adult created a fortress so that I would never have to feel that or make those decisions. And now to heal, I'm having to do the opposite. I am making decisions that no one understands.
Mm-hmm.
I will continue to make those decisions. I don't know where they're going to lead,
mm-hmm.
right? I fell in love with a woman, and their name is Jess. Plot twist.
Oh.
If there's not a better way to come out, I feel like I don't know one. I feel like this is a really good one.
Yeah, it is. And how healing of an experience, too, to, like, go from the belief that you couldn't be trustworthy and you couldn't make important decisions to finally taking your power back in life and being like, you know what? This hasn't felt right for a long time and I'm going to make a change. And that's amazing. And you said it doesn't make sense to anybody in your life, but they're getting used to it.
Well, but I never shared with anybody that was struggling.
Yeah.
I literally built a whole network of, you know, a whole institution for folks to make it easy for them if they are struggling, to take out as many steps as possible.
Yeah.
And I was the one the whole time that needed it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so I'm going to take this to something I heard. I can't remember if it was on her podcast or in her book, but Glennon Doyle has something where she tells her daughter, Tish, who's very sensitive, right, that no, you're supposed to disappoint everybody else in your life so you don't disappoint yourself.
Ooh.
Right? And that's what you did, right? Like, you're doing your inner child healing now. And how cool is that, right?
And it's cool now.
Yeah.
Right? But this is the thing that I feel like is the thing that no one's talking about that I will talk about.
Yeah.
We all of us come from generations of history that was just passed down by other hurt and damaged people. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's true. Right? Everything has a bias. Everything has a different perspective. We now are a generation of truth tellers. And I think that's when we can actually make real change and pursue happiness in a way that we have not before. And I think that's really exciting. Because what happened was I had to face everything that locked me into that fortress. Oh, my God, I'm going to destroy my children. Yeah. Oh, my God, I have to tell my family. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, people are going to know. They're going to see behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Nikki is not perfect. Right? Like, for whatever reason, that felt safe. It also kept me very far away from people. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be the person. I don't want to be the one. I just don't want to be that. I just want to be a person. And I can't imagine. I really hope all of us take a look at what do we believe and how has that affected our life? And what are we willing to reevaluate?
Yeah.
And maybe make another decision, especially when it kind of obliterates everything.
Yeah.
Because if you want a big change in your life, it's not going to happen. If you want to go from, you know, for me, it was like, I'm going to go from where I'm at to like way over here. It's like, okay, well, logically, right, this is science. It's either going to have to take a lot of, I was thinking of that backwards, but, you know, it's either going to be that, like, you can't skip steps.
No.
To doing it. Like, there has to be a logical way for your brain to follow the beliefs of I'm here now and this is where I want to get and that's what I want to believe.
Yeah.
You can't just magically do it. Mm-mm. You have to logically, and this is why we have emotions processing in two parts of the brain, right? Like, our, when we hear it, when we speak it, it's why this being a podcast is so important, mm-hmm. I think. So all of that to say, I think it's going to be really game-changing if folks can understand how to better take care of themselves.
Absolutely. And in that process of changing the belief, like, the science behind that is that you're actually rewiring your neural pathways in your brain. So neurons that fire together wire together. And what that means is, like, if you're used to, we'll bring it back to, like, drinking coffee and like having a cigarette or something like that. If your brain is used to doing both of those things at the same time, and for some reason you stop one of them, there's going to be like something absent in your morning routine then, right? Like, and your body's going to feel it. And it's almost like your body has to go through grieving the loss of that.
Something else has to be there.
Yeah. Yes.
Created space, right? That space had always been there. Mm-hmm. I think that also is just so intriguing, especially the ways that you've had to do that.
Yeah. So I also understand that deep loneliness, right? And feeling on the other side of life or people or something like that. I mean, I came out in my early 20s, but I grew up with a very, like, Christian conservative family. And that was like...
They don't go together.
No. And so... I mean, that deep loneliness and having, not having a community to support. And I didn't find queer friends until I was like in college. And so understanding that pain and then healing it, right? By doing the thing that, like, oh God, everybody's going to find out, you know, that I'm queer, or I love women or whatever. And not being the perfect Jessica, the good girl of the family who's like the A student and did all of the cool things and important things and helps everybody. Like, I'm now the black sheep or rainbow sheep of the family, right? Like, mm-hmm. And it's...
We went from the golden, right? The golden child. I mean, this is really the fall of the golden child because we both were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. But saying that, like, my needs are more important than how anybody else sees me is so freeing. Very scary, but freeing. You just kind of, I know I had to, like, tiptoe to that point, right? And be like, But did I die? No. Okay, we'll keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you had to trust in your ability.
Yeah.
Without knowing whether you could or not.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And knowing that internal compass of, like, if being true to myself means people leave, mm-hmm. you have to let them.
Yeah.
That was, like, a hard thing for me.
That's a very hard thing.
Because everyone's on their own journey, and we're not expecting that everyone would understand, you know, mm-hmm. like, or where we're coming from. And I think the beauty here is, like, no one has to.
Right.
I think it's so intimately, personal. At the same time, I love that, like, I wish I would have had it in us to listen to, even if it was just because, you know, I needed comfort in knowing that someone else, like, my story lived in someone else, too.
Yeah.
And that inspires me, especially when I can see, right? Like, I mean, we gave it all up to try, like, because we really feel like this is important.
Yeah.
And I don't hesitate at all. I think that the more honest and real, I think that is where the value is really going to come. And I just cannot wait for all of it.
I know. I'm so excited. So if anybody has any comments or ideas for the show or conversations that you want us to have, please leave us comments. We'd greatly appreciate it. And I think that's it for this episode.
Yes. Yeah. If you are a person who exploded your life one time.
Yes, also that.
Regardless of how it ended or if it ended, because, like, it has not ended for me, but...
Oh, no. That's why we're doing this right now.
Right?
Like, it's still so messy.
It is. So if you are that person, I want to talk to you. Like, I want just this conversation. So those people, too.
Yeah.
Just get a hold of us.
No. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. All right. So this is Table Talk. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day.